Well, Pete, here we are again for American Christian.
Doc, we just kind of keep moving into this thing, and there's an anticipation that starts to grow on you after a while, doesn't it?
I agree. It really does.
Man, yeah. I hope our listeners are... I know we've got a few that are get pretty charged up over this whole thing right now.
Right.
But I think that's what the Word does, right?
It really does. And you know, it shows that there's no limit to the truth and the power and you know, I mean, just information for your Christian life that's in the Bible. I mean, there's no end to it.
Right. And these are, and it is as though the Lord is steering us, right? Bumping us a little bit to the left, bumps us a little bit to the right. We kind of keep going down this path. And right. Now we find ourselves into chapter 17. But as you had kind of said, we're going to kind of start summarizing things right now, right?
Right, because we've really covered the main judges. With Samson, he's kind of the end of that clear example of individuals. But now, from here on out to the rest of the book of Judges, you get really the topic is what happens when there's no clear leadership.
Oh boy.
To lead the people.
Right.
Everybody does what's right in their own eyes, and what do they do? And man, I'll tell you, this is some of the weirdest stuff you're going to find in the whole Bible.
It is.
It really is. I mean, it's just out there.
There's a little bit of, if you're not very well versed in the Word, which isn't really an uncommon thing, but these are probably, we're getting into passages that you probably don't hear from the pulpit, right?
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. So what I think we're on episode 22.
Yeah. So you kick it off with this guy, Mike, and we aren't going to read these verse by verse. It'd be way too long. But you, with this guy Micah, who steals the money from his mother,
right?
Okay, and hides it, and then he brings it back, and she says, "Oh, bless you!" You know, he's happy.
Well, and that's because he found out that she put a curse on the money.
Right, exactly.
That, oh no! Oh my goodness! I can't get this back to her. Yeah,
but then she takes part of it and hires this dude to make idols
with the silver.
With the silver.
Yeah,
I know. It's like, really?
Yeah.
And see, you got to recognize as well here that the background information that you got to have in front of this is the five books of Moses.
Ooh, okay.
What the law of the Lord is, or none of this is going to make any sense.
Well, that's why part of why you're here, Doc.
Okay. I mean, but there's such a confusion about using the name of the Lord God, Yahweh, and the Lord, and yet right alongside idols and carved images and household gods.
Household gods.
Pete, what is a household god?
Well, I think that it's probably got a 55-inch diagonal on
ooh,
it.
Ooh.
Yeah, and some of them are 32-inch diagonals. You've got, it's kind of started out on the 24.
Is it like hooked up to a dish subscription?
There's a tail on it that feeds right into the internet, for Pete's sake. Yeah. Yeah, I think that, you know, when you think about things that cause you to bow down, things that are introducing information into you, you know, well, don't preach the gospel to me. Well, what do you think the pharmacy companies are doing to you? Commercial after commercial after commercial. What do you think the news stations are doing night after night after night to get your daily news? I mean, they are bringing information into your household. And you are, if by bowing down, meaning that you're taking the advice thereof and putting it into application into your own life.
So how are you going to know what's true and good and what's false and evil?
Well, you got to watch a few episodes of Gunsmoke.
Okay. Well, I use the Lone Ranger, but yeah, okay.
Yeah, you're right. So we have to have something to hold these things up to. We have the Word of God.
Yeah.
We also have our congregations. We have our spiritual friendships, you know, the people that we're, you know, in fellowship with.
Exactly.
Things that you
accountability.
Accountability. Yeah. There's a lot of different things, and you know what? You can go sideways with any one of them, Doc.
Right.
Right? I mean, the Pharisees went kind of sideways with just the law. And Jesus comes in and starts wrecking the place.
Think of that. By the time you get to the Pharisees and Jesus,
yeah,
all this idolatry stuff that you read about here in Judges and all the rest of the Old Testament, that had been wiped out.
Ooh.
By God himself. The Babylonian captivity took care of that. He said, okay, for hundreds of years this yeah. stuff tripped up Israel.
Right.
Ashtaroth and Molech and Baal and all these false gods.
But yet, these false gods are still tripping people up today.
Dude.
They are. I mean, we've mentioned it to our listeners a couple of times, but we're going to get into some other stuff here today in 17.
But how weird can it get when there's no clear spiritual leadership? Like this guy, this Micah,
yes,
goes, well, you know, I need a relationship with God, so I think I'll just have me my own priest.
Yeah. What a deal.
What? How can you just have your own priest? I mean, you read, you know, Leviticus, you read Deuteronomy, and you're like,
I need my own priest.
But there's nothing there that provides for a personal priest. The priests ministered at the tabernacle of the Lord with right. the Ark of the Covenant and the glory and all that. And this guy wants his own priest, and he gets one.
Right. The guy sells out.
Yeah.
I mean, this is
the Levite.
Yeah. Wouldn't this be the equivalent of a man of the cloth, as so to speak? Wouldn't this be equivalent to having your own go-to pastor that you have Ooh. Access to?
Wow.
Doc.
That you buy access to?
Oh, you buy access to him. How do you do that? Huh? Do you buy him things? You take him out for lunch?
Oh, man.
So you can pick his brain? Well, I'm not, you know.
That's okay. Not bad, but
right.
in and of itself. But this guy had the Levite living in his house.
He did.
In fact, it says in verse 11 of 17, the Levite was content to dwell with the man, and the young man became like one of his sons to him. And so they're kind of doing this thing. And then we get into the issue with the Danites,
right?
Who have no land. All the other tribes got their own land when they came in, but the Danites didn't get any land. So what are they going to do?
Why didn't the Danites get land? Were they were the guys that went out and secured land for the other tribes. Was that them?
Right, and they were kind of ripped off, actually.
Fighting for everybody else, and then they were going to get their land in the end. That was kind of part of the promise.
Right. So they go in there, and they find this guy, Micah, and they recognize this Levite, because he's traveled there from other places in Israel.
Okay.
So what are you doing here being a private priest for this guy in his house? You're questioning him. And Micah says, verse 4 of 18, he hired me and I have become, or the Levite says, he hired me and I have become his priest. So then they jump on it. Mm-hmm. They say, well, hey, you know, we need a priest too. We got to have somebody to talk to God for us.
There it is. That's why you have a Levite.
Yeah.
You're using another man to come to get access to God.
You don't want to hear from God yourself.
No, and you don't, right.
Well, you see this all over in the Old Testament, and it's really prominent here in these stories. Inquire of the Lord for us. Well, that can be good.
Right.
Like the way King David did it. But here, it's kind of,
right.
You know?
But you think about, you know, I think about when you think about the who's who kind of a thing, and hey, you know what? I went out and I had lunch with whatever.
Franklin Graham.
Dude. I got him. I have his cell phone number.
Whoa, I didn't know that.
Yeah, so.
Well, let's call him.
We should call him up. Right, because I got a question about some things in the Word of God, or I have some questions about. So I'm going to call him instead of me going to the Lord, Doc, and asking the Lord and moving into the relational side of things, right? I'm bypassing that, and I'm going to go off of your merit and your. Right? How do I know that what you're doing is right?
Yeah.
Right?
line me up with the word.
That's all, right? Amen.
All right, so they do this, and they, you know, they see this land. They need land, so they see these people dwelling in the manor of the Sidonians, which is peaceful, and all this. Say, hey, we're going to go and take their land. And they want to know if the Lord will help them do this. So the priest says, "Yeah, man, go ahead. He's gonna help you. Do not hesitate." Verse 9. Go in and enter to possess the land. And so they go down there, and this Micah guy is still involved in the story. And these five guys from this party of these Danites come, and they're going to, they've got to know. And so this is what's weird to me, Pete.
Okay.
It's in the name of the Lord that they're inquiring, and yet they got these idols and carved images there. This confusion.
Ooh, there you go.
Between what is so clear in the law of Moses, you shall have no other gods before me.
How do you have an idol and know what this idol wants from you?
I don't know. There's a mixture here that is just plain weird. And what it cries out to us in the subject of revival is you can't have mixture. You're going to have confusion. If you think you can mix the true spirituality of Jesus and the Father and the Holy Spirit with the stuff that's going on in our culture today,
no.
I'm sorry.
You mean?
You're going to be doing what's right in your own eyes like these people. And that's the call for revival, is to stop doing that and seek the Lord God for who he really is.
Right.
Throw down your idols. Throw down your carved images. And so they're in there, and they're doing the thing with the ephod and all this, and they head out, and they wanna do the thing and take the land. And they actually do it. And here, some of this, I'll be honest with you, I don't fully understand. I like verse 31, so they set up for themselves Micah's carved image. And they take it off, they rip him off. They go into his house and take it out of his house. And they're proceeding away. And Micah gets his guys, and they come. And they, hey, where are you going with our gods?
Right.
And they turn around and they say, well, we got way more guys than you, so don't mess with us. We're taking your gods with us. Are your gods portable?
Ooh.
Can they be carried out of your house?
Can your God be seen?
Oh, man.
Because really, I mean, at this, other than appearing to Moses, right? I mean, the Israelites had experienced God,
right?
But putting a face and a figure to God, not a good idea. But you're right. So in 31, so they set up for themselves Micah's carved image, which he made all the time that the house of God was in Shiloh. So
there's that confusion.
You're trying to marry these two. I'm going to take a little bit of the good of this God and a little bit of the good of that God. I'm going to bring a little bit of protection from this one. Mm-hmm. I'm going to, right? And if we look at denominations, which is what the revivalists had to come up against. You know, when we move into Edda, right?
Yeah.
She's this female who's anointed as an evangelist to go out, right? But it is coming up against all these other different denominations with their doctrines. And I think all of them say no women preaching.
No.
Period.
Most of them did.
Yeah. But she
preached anyway.
She did. You know, and one of the deals that she had pointed to there was this idea behind Deborah. Right, and we've shared that with our listeners. Deborah was no slouch, man.
Right.
She's mighty. So All right, so we've got confusion.
Right. And so you get then you get this guy that has his concubine and does the thing with his father-in-law. And they head out, and finally he gets away from him. The old man's trying to get him to stay. I mean, it doesn't really tell us, is it because of his daughter or whatever?
Yeah.
He likes the son-in-law or whatever. But finally they get away after days.
Please let me get out of here.
Right?
Well, don't you want to have a little lunch?
Yeah, have a little more Cheetos, you know, and crackers.
Yeah, you're right. That really does
so
go back.
So then they get to near Jebus, which becomes Jerusalem later on. It's the same city.
Right.
And Jerusalem is owned by the Jebusites for a long time. It's King David that finally takes it from them and makes it the city of David.
Hallelujah.
Yeah, but they get into this thing where they are taken into the house of this man. So they don't have to spend the night out in the open square.
Right.
And the sons of Belial show up.
Oh, Doc.
Peter, here we go.
Right. And this isn't a new thing under the sun, right, Doc? I mean,
Sodom and Gomorrah.
And Gomorrah. This is, you're right, listen.
In fact, this story is quite similar to Sodom and Gomorrah in Genesis.
It is.
But the sons of Belial. And here they are, and they demand that they don't demand first to have the women. They want the man.
Right.
For sex.
Right.
Yeah.
The young man.
Right.
Yeah.
And so the old man here, the owner of the house, says, no, 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 we'll give you the women. I mean, dude, I don't understand that either. And that's the same thing in the Lot story.
Right.
They said.
They send out the women.
Right. I don't know, man. I think I'd have been loading the AK. But
I mean, you've got
sorry,
a whole town sitting at your door.
Oh,
I mean, how do you defend yourself into this? You can see where you would be backed into a corner. You know, and we still make movies about this, all the way, you know, for how many years about the whole defending the helpless and da-da-da-da-da, right? Bad guys coming in.
But anyway, to relate this whole thing to revival, this is how we kind of got turned toward Sister Maria B. Woodworth Eder, was the sons of Belial, because she dealt with them in her meetings.
Right.
And I remembered one of these stories about that. From her meeting, the anointing of God that was on this woman. Now here's kind of the setting. She was an evangelist that traveled around the 1890s into the early 1900s. Literally traveled all over the United States.
Right.
Had such amazing supernatural healings and miracles and signs and wonders. But she had opposition that was also amazing just about every place she went.
Right.
And there was this one place where she was ministering in this auditorium, and just, you know, they're doing the meeting, worshiping God and preaching the gospel and all this. And these sons of Belial, I would call them, maybe a different flavor of them, but anyway, the men of the city are gathering together, the lewd men, the rough men, you know, and all that. You go, hey, this woman's running this meeting out there in the auditorium. Let's get all our guys together and go out there and bust it up. What happens then? These guys come in the back of the auditorium, and they start marching down a side aisle.
Right.
To go up to the platform to stop the meeting. There's a point, they never get there, because there's a point about halfway down in that aisle. It must have been an angel of the Lord or something. Every man that stepped up to that point was knocked down on the floor.
Isn't that something?
One right after another. And they didn't just lay there. They're having visions of heaven and hell.
Oh, my.
They're coming out of it screaming, hell is too good for me. I repent. I call on the name of the Lord.
Oh, my word.
Yeah.
These were, and this didn't happen just once.
No, it's happened several times.
It happened several times
in her ministry. And so we're kind of trying to relate all this to revival and revival happenings. And I mean, when you think about that, the mercy of God on those guys.
Right.
I don't think God took away their free will. I think he just showed them...
persuasion.
Yeah, I think he just showed them, well, here's your choice.
Right.
How do you want it, heaven or hell? Here's what heaven looks like. Here's what hell looks like. You choose.
That's it. And that's what this whole everything comes down to. No matter what generation that you find yourself in right now, there's going to be the answering of where do you want to spend eternity.
And these guys were evil. I mean, they were just...
wicked.
Why evildoers? Why would you go bust up a meeting where people are getting healed, where people are getting miracles in their bodies and saved from sin and all this stuff? Evil, and yet there's such a righteous power of the kingdom of God.
Right.
Now, of course, we're way on the other side of Calvary and the resurrection and the day of Pentecost. We're up into the early days of the 20th century.
Right.
When she ministered. But, man, what a deal.
I know. Are we going to talk about what ends up happening here?
Go ahead.
Well, it's because... The crime is this, going to verse 22 of 19. It says, as they were enjoying themselves, suddenly certain men of the city, perverted men, surrounded the house and beat on the door. They spoke to the master of the house, the old man, saying, bring out the man who came to your house, that we may know him carnally. But the man, the master of the house, went out to them, and he said to them, no, my brethren, I beg you, do not act so wickedly. Seeing this man has come into my house, do not commit this outrage. So he's pleading for the people not to take his guests out, this particular man.
To the sons of Belial.
Look, here's my virgin daughter and the man's concubine. Let me bring them out now. Humble them and do with them as you please. But to this man, do not do such a vile thing. But the men would not heed him. So the man took his concubine and brought her out to them. And they knew her and abused her all night until morning. And when the day began to break, they let her go. Then the woman, she came as the day was dawning and fell down at the door of the man's house where her master was until it was light.
When she is dead.
This is it. This is her final moment was to make it back to her master. When her master rose in the morning and opened the doors of the house and went out to go his way, there was his concubine fallen at the door of the house with her hands on the threshold. And he said to her, get up and let us be going. But there was no answer. So the man lifted her onto the donkey, and the man got up and went into his place. And when he entered the house, he took a knife and laid hold of his concubine and divided her into 12 pieces, limb by limb, and sent her throughout all the territory of Israel. And so it was that all who saw it said, no such deed has ever been done or seen from the day that the children of Israel came up from the land of Egypt until this day. Consider it, confer, and speak up. Doc.
No, as weird as that whole story sounds to us today, and it does, let's be honest about that. I mean, yet what it is, it's a wake-up call to the nation.
It is.
In other words, what this man is saying, it's so bad down here in Benjamin that here are the pieces of my concubine, one for each of you, one for each tribe. And they're horrified, rightfully so, and they're like, dude.
Right.
Something has to be done.
Well, I don't think we should go there today. I think we should say, come back tomorrow, because what's going to happen here is that this does wake Israel.
And I
don't want to make you think hey, they're going to come out of this and all's going to be good. They're going to wake up, but still know this. There's still... no one leading right now.
Exactly.
Israel.
no one saying you're accountable to the law of the Lord, to the truth of God that God revealed through Moses, because that's what they had at this point.
Right.
They didn't have the revelation of Jesus yet. They didn't have the Holy Spirit poured out on all flesh.
Right.
But they did have the law.
They did.
And they're accountable to it.
And these are the tribes.
These are God's people.
My goodness sakes. Yeah. And they have entered into the land of the Canaanites.
So here it is. It can get so bad that it has to be something like this that brings the wake-up call. So what is it going to take for America?
Wow, we thought it was 9/11.
I know.
We thought it was this last election.
Yeah, you know, at 9/11, I mean, I thought so too. I mean, there were churches I was familiar with, large churches,
yeah,
that started filling up every night of the week for prayer. Like hundreds of people coming.
Every night.
Right, for weeks. But then, just kind of tapered off again.
That's just something that's like a swell comes in over the people.
I mean, it is the raw mercy of God, Pete,
that
we even live to be here and have an election last November, as flawed as that was, as messed up as that was. I mean, and now here we are looking at more stuff.
There's more stuff. We're still aborting.
The message is still clear.
Yeah.
Repent and call on the name of the Lord. And really, listener, your call and your job and all the weirdness, because look, they were in weirdness then, we're in weirdness now. Here's the connection.
Okay.
Out of this, keep your eyes on Jesus.
Yeah.
Keep your hope in the Lord.
Yeah.
Because God is working something out here that is going to bring glory to his name.
Hallelujah.
It's way beyond our human minds to understand. But the truth of his word remains. And you are an instrument, American Christian. You are a vessel of the glory and the power of God in your life world. When all this weird stuff's happening all around you, you don't have to be moved. You don't have to be shaken. Mm. You can stand. You can say, no, I know where my feet are placed on this rock, and I am going to stand. But also, we're going to bring others with us. We're going to grab them out of this chaos.
Wow.
We're going to show them mercy and love and power and a sound mind. How could a person have a sound mind in what's going on around about us here? Well, you're going to have your eyes on Jesus. You're going to have to have your nose in the Word.
Yeah.
You're going to have to be hanging out with him every day and just... Don't expect you're going to have your own private pastor like this Micah dude.
Right, and don't forsake the gathering together.
Ooh, that's good too.
Because what we've kind of been set up for, Doc, is to stay at home and watch.
Oh, you mean like Facebook Live?
Yeah, Facebook Live. You know, a lot of churches.
And hey, it was good when the whole thing happened.
It's just a small season of things.
Right.
But look, you need other believers, and without it, you will not succeed.
And you're a human being, and you need human touch.
Amen.
You just do. Sorry, social distancing. It's time to be done with some things, I think, Pete.
I like that.
Yeah.
Amen.
So let's pray a prayer of blessing over these hearers, Pete. Why don't you go ahead and then I'll follow up.
All right. Well, Father, we come to you because you sent us Jesus. And you gave us an example of what that looks like, Lord. The love that Jesus had for people. Lord, even before you launched off into your ministry, Lord, you were coming, Lord, for the unlikelies. So, Father, I just ask, Lord, that you will continue to send messengers and send your word into these households, Lord. And, Father, that they would see, Lord, that there is come a time, Lord, where they must return unto you. And, Lord, to gather together, Lord, that you are going to give them the insight that they need, Lord, in order to walk successfully with you day in and day out, Lord. That, Lord, that they would learn the habitation of the Lord rather than the visitation of God.
And Father, we just receive that as blessing over everyone that hears this word today.
Yes.
And Lord, that blessing will just conduct them forward. It'll give them courage against every kind of cursing, because blessing is greater. And we just say to you, the blessing of the Lord be upon you. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.